It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
Better than this, guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network and we're brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting needs. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at Bet Online. They feature live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. They have every sport. So head on over to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just be sure to use our promo code BELEAVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, a happy National Margarita Day to you.
Oh, see, you did well. You did well. Sugar or salt on your rim?
Neither. What about you?
Do you drink it with a straw, too?
No, I don't drink it with a straw.
Okay, good. You
if the cup is too ginormous, right? Sometimes you need that straw, but typically not.
No, I don't care if it's a fishbowl. I'll stick my head in that sumbitch and.
Oh, okay. Tip it up.
Yeah. No, I'll just like I'm face down in the pool and start drinking that way. Yep.
Like a dog.
Yep. No, I mean like submerge my head in like an astronaut's. Helmet type. Like the party, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Just go bobbing for apples in the bottom of the margarita for some like cut up lime wedges or something like that.
Something has occurred to me as I consider National Margarita Day and the lovely source that I use to let me know what days it is. It's using a picture of a margarita that is not green. I think this is, it's yellow. I don't know what flavor.
It's got a pineapple slice in it because I'm looking at the same site you are.
It does. Here's what, this just occurred to me, and I'm aware that there are non-lime flavors of margaritas, but Kyle and Chris, my guys, I've never had a non-lime margarita.
Tell me you've never gone to Chili's and had a Presidente margarita without telling me you've never gone to Chili's and had a Presidente.
I haven't. I've been with you to Chili's, and I've seen you order this, but I've never consumed a non-lime margarita. I feel it's like true. I'm missing out.
You are missing out. I'm disappointed you didn't take National Cook a Sweet Potato Day.
You're disappointed by that.
Me of all people disappointed.
You know what? Sweet potatoes are phenomenal. I eat them a lot, and you know what I've realized? You don't have to do anything to them. You can get like the microwavable ones. You don't have to put butter on. You have to
pop them in the microwave. They're sweet.
Right? They're good. They're good.
Would you ever eat one as a snack?
I've done this before millions of times. Yes. Okay. No. Kyle or Chris, I'm disappointed that you're not disappointed that I didn't pick National Walking the Dog Day.
That's not an option for me on the website that I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah, no, it is.
And we're looking at the same thing.
National Cook a Sweet Potato Day, National Supermarket Employee Day.
Okay, yeah, shout out to those folks.
And National California Day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be in my top five of states.
I don't care.
Don't care.
Play More Cards Day. I'm sure that's one for you, Chris.
That is definitely one for me. Check the tape Wednesday here on the podcast. You told me in the pre-show you had Check the Tape topics. You did not. You were not interested in sharing them with me or each other. So I have no idea where we're going on today's show. And Joe did say, quote, I'm going to pull a Kyle on the show today. So I don't know what that means.
I know what it means. And I regret to inform you, Joe, I am also going to pull a Kyle.
Oh, wow.
Today.
So we're really not checking any tape today. Great.
I can talk about Vic Fangio's defense if you want. But
I'm hopeful. I've been
waiting on bated breath to find out what your non-grinding tape topic is and if it conflicts with mine. Because like, there's a possibility that could be the case. So I would love to know what your topic is.
Well, then that's committing me to going first.
You can go first. That's
but
it,
I'm, what I'm saying is if you're doing Vic, let's get to that first because that's going to be better than mine.
I think even if we do two topics that are not Vic, we will have time to do Vic.
All right. So this is committing me to going first.
Yeah. Because right. I always have the fallback option of doing Vic.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you take my topic.
I am trying very hard. I need to be able to use the chat function here. And well, that's okay. It paid everyone.
Yeah, they did an update. And they moved all the
buttons. Well, Kyle, you know what the problem is? Your name's not Kyle Krabs on this program that we're using. And so when I loaded it up, I didn't know who these people were. All
I
right,
couldn't find the soundboard, so I could.
Chris,
you know,
couldn't find the unmute button either. I saw you talking to yourself.
It was jackass. It was true. I wanted to do this.
Check the tape.
Because we're checking
the
tape.
Folks, check the chat, actually, if you will.
Check the chat.
Because this is what
button.
I want to talk about.
Hold on. That's a button
this
over here.
This is what I want to talk about.
This is now it's a link to a tweet.
It's
a link
to a tweet.
I'm going to open another browser tab.
Yep.
And I go over here.
Problems galore here, folks.
I'm good. I'm now
from the KC Sports Network. It's still loading. Okay. Chiefs finish 7th overall this season in rookie snaps. And then it has the top six. It has all top 32.
All 32 teams. In the National Football League.
Is this a Jordan Davis segment? Is that what this is?
Oh,
here?
It can be. Yes, we can do that. That wasn't the intent. I just wanted to talk about this data. We have all 32 teams ranked in order of most snaps. All 32. All of them ranked in order of most snaps. By rookies, offensive, defensive, and then total, ranging from the number one team, the Houston Texans, at 5,079 rookie snaps, all the way down to the Philadelphia Eagles, 860 total snaps from rookies in the year 2022. And so I thought this was really fun data. It's good information, and wanted to kind of lean on you guys and, of course, myself to talk about the most meaningful takeaways from this information. I'll go ahead and start because I've certainly had more time to consider this information because I've been planning on this. The number one takeaway that I have here as I consider the teams at the top, which is Houston, Seattle, those are both over 5,000. Then the Bears at number three at 4,840. Then the Giants at number four at 4,018. And then you get to the Titans, 3,942, right? So there's even within the top five, the range there is pretty significant. There's 1,600 snaps. That's not true. I don't know how to do math. There's 1,100 snaps between. Go ahead. Do it.
No, now I got to go back over here and open up the bar now. And
yeah.
Draft dudes do math.
There you go.
There it is. Got it out of the way quick here.
Not a math guy.
Yeah, that was probably the better play there. 1,100 snaps between one and five, right? But the common denominator to me with all five of those teams is rookie offensive linemen. Rookie offensive linemen drive up these snaps, right? Because they play every offensive snap. You look at Seattle at number two rookie offensive tackles. Kenyon Green for the Houston Texans, and of course they had 11 rookies. The Bears, 15 rookies. Again, Braxton Jones, a rookie offensive lineman starter. Evan Neal, the Giants, 12 rookies. Evan Neal, one of the rookie starters at right tackle. The Titans played Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle all year. So my first takeaway when considering this data is that it is heavily influenced by the teams that have a rookie starter along their offensive line.
How about some of these defensive numbers too? I mean, Chicago, 3,500 snaps defensively. Houston, 3,200 snaps defensively. Two of the top four teams are playoff teams.
Yep.
How's that for a number? The Giants with approximately 2,500, Seattle with 2,300 defensively. So I think if you're one of those two teams, the top four was the top two picks in the draft and a couple of wild card teams. If you happen to be on the wild card teams. So if you're on that side of that fence and that club, good for you guys. You got to feel really excited. Now, I think it's probably not unreasonable to worry about regression if the standard that was set was playoff teams, because player development, as we know on this show, is not linear, right? There will be players who were outstanding as rookies who take monumental, huge steps forward in their second year. There will be players who were monumental rookies who take marginal steps forward in their second year. And then there will be rookies who were outstanding and they will be the exact same player in their second year as what they were to their first. So that's the challenge for those players and those teams, is to continue to hit above average as player development goes, now that you've gotten the head start of getting so many snaps for these guys early on.
Howie Roseman playing this game on a different playing field than everybody else, eh?
Yeah, well, so 30, the Eagles were dead last in rookie snaps at 32.
What if you include A.J. Brown's snaps?
Well, he's not a rookie, so that wouldn't fit the criteria.
They used a first-round pick on him.
They did, and they also had a first-round pick that played about 300 snaps on the year, I think, maybe less.
I mean, Joe, so they're the only team that
has
less than 1,000
of their rookie defensive snaps. It's a great first round. That's a great pick,
you know,
in the first
when you
round.
Look at it like that. How about this one? This one really pops for me. The Los Angeles Rams, 31st on this list with the most rookies. 16 rookies on their roster. Second fewest rookie snaps in the NFL.
And all of the injuries that they had throughout the season still managed the second least. This is what happens when all your picks come in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, though.
That's true, right? Probably a lot of UDFAs, too, I'm sure.
Correct.
How about the discrepancy? You look at two teams here in the Chiefs at number 7 and the Lions at number 11, which, you know, they're both at over 3,000 snaps from rookies. But they skew heavily towards defense, where the Chiefs really made a calculated choice this year to really move on from some veteran players. You know, it's Honey Badger, you think about Rashad Fenton, some guys at linebacker as well, and really invested a ton in this defense. They had 6 picks. Where's the data? Where's my notepad?
The data.
Got it right here. They had 6 picks this past year in the first 4 rounds of the draft, 5 of them on defensive players, Sky Moore being the offensive player. Like, this was a calculated choice, and it worked for them. When they won the Super Bowl with a huge amount of snaps on defense for rookies. I mean, literally their entire cornerback situation, like including their slot corner, not L'Jarius Sneed, but, I mean, with injuries and stuff, they wound up playing Watson, Williams, and McDuffie, you know, like just a ton of snaps defensively from rookies. Same thing with the Lions.
Now, kudos for it working out. Yeah. But I don't know about you, but throughout the first half of that Super Bowl, as I was watching that game unfold, my reaction had the score held, and obviously it didn't. There's credit to the entire Kansas City effort for that being the case.
Yeah.
And I understand that the partial, you know, like the score counts for all 60 minutes, and I get that. But my number one storyline, if Philadelphia would have won that game in the fashion in which they played in the first half, would have been Kansas City needing more on the outside defensively.
1,000,000%. I mean, think about the special teams influence with that Cipros punt that was a line drive to Tony. Like, if the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl, I think we look at that number differently. We say, what? That was a miscalculation. But the margins are always so slim, right?
And I think that highlights the fortunes and luck that is. All you got to do is put yourself in a position to do it and then go make a couple plays. Easier said than done. Only one team ever does it every single
right,
year.
Right.
But the best you can hope for is to put yourself in a position to go do that. And just go play your ass off and see what happens.
I think we're uncomfortable acknowledging
the uncontrollable.
Yeah, man, there's just luck involved.
Championship.
There is, man. There just is. Like every Super Bowl champion ever, they had a series of things that went their way. Right. And I know that luck favors the prepared, and, you know, you can always lean into those quotes, but there's always that truth that we're a little bit uncomfortable acknowledging. Do you guys see a relationship here between a team that is a contender that you think has staying power among the top teams in the league and rookie contributions that make you feel even better about where they are in terms of staying power?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville's the name.
They're eighth on this list, and like it feels like they're just getting started, and they won the division, and you know they got a pretty good quarterback, and most of their contributions are skewed to the defensive side of things. So you feel pretty good about that.
And you have Trevor's only going to get better, and
right.
Feel good about that nucleus.
Yeah, I like that. Detroit's kind of in that range too. I know they didn't make the playoffs, but you feel like they are going to be really well positioned from the playing time that their young players got this past year.
So one to watch for me is the 49ers. Obviously, they've been very aggressive with their draft capital over the last couple of years, but they have positioned themselves. They were 26th. In the NFL with 1,800 snaps defensively, and they were within 500 snaps of being 22nd as the high water mark, and they were within 500 snaps of being 31st as the low water mark. So very definitively in the bottom eighth of the league.
I don't want to be this guy to constantly do this on the show every time, but the New Orleans Saints can't be at the bottom of this list with the strategy that they're employing. We got to do better here.
I wasn't done with the 49ers.
Yeah, I didn't think you...
I'm sorry. I completely just interrupted you because I was like staring at the Saints and I was like, this is a problem.
If you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass.
My apologies. Sincerely.
What the hell, dude?
What the hell?
They don't have a first or second round pick this year, San Francisco. So I know that was a conversation we had last year with San Francisco was... Oh, they're going to lose some guys. There's going to be a transitional window. Well, then they did it again. They went out and they got Christian McCaffrey, and they got themselves another big contract. And once again, don't have a pick. I don't think their top pick is scheduled until the compensatory's in the threes. Now, they have a couple of them, but like you're not going to have a top 100 pick. So that's fine for now. But what that means this roster will look like in 2025, just know... There's ramifications for that. And how they thread that needle will be fascinating. But that trend for San Francisco, them definitively being in the bottom quarter, I can't help but expect it will probably continue again next year based on their situation. And some of that is how firm their roster is, how good it is in a lot of different spots. And hey, that's great. But you are in this spot only because you got your third string quarterback out there for the final six games of the regular season in the playoffs. If Brock Purdy doesn't play, how many snaps do the 49ers have offensively?
Man, that's a great point. He was it six starts?
Yeah, and effectively a whole seventh game.
Yeah, you think about 70 snaps a game, it's 420. So you take 420 snaps away from them and they're 31st.
All right, so Brock Purdy, Pro Football Reference. He played in six games plus the wild card round. His snaps in the regular season, 380.
So not bad with my 420 estimate there.
And then in the playoff game, because this is through week 18, correct? That's what the graphic says. So then in the playoff game against Seattle, the 49ers ran 66 plays. So, I mean, you're talking 400, take 450 snaps off this number for the 49ers for Brock Purdy.
Yeah, it's low.
So, Chris, the Saints.
I apologize. With the strategy that they employ, I'm not surprised that they're down here towards the bottom because they just don't invest in their future. But like, if they're going to make the strategy work, they need to get more contributions from rookies. Like, that's the extra layer to the equation. Keep the core you have in place, pay them a ton of money, restructure their contracts, kick it all out, create maximum cap space. You got to hit on your draft picks, and they only have six rookies.
Yeah. Well, I want, you know, if you get Penning healthy as your left tackle all year, that's 1,000 snaps, right? That changes that quite a bit.
And for as good as Chris Olave was, he was banged up at the end of the year.
The last real nugget that I wanted to bring up with this is going back to the top with Seattle and them having the second most snaps, 5,067. I mean, they're just a handful away from being the most. And they did it with seven rookies. Seven. That's like the second lowest number on here. And that's, I mean, that just speaks to massive hits. Charles Cross, Abraham Lucas, your starting tackles, Ken Walker, Tariq Woolen, Kobe Bryant. I mean, like, you got a ton out of those seven players. And like, it was such a perfectly timed moment for them to have a foundational draft class like this as they like reset their direction and then had success as a team. Like, that to me is so impressive.
Yeah, Seattle is very well aligned for the next 3 years because of the success of this draft class individually. Yeah.
Now, when those guys are all up the same year for contracts,
have a quarterback on a rookie deal. That'd be my suggestion.
Good old problem to have there. So,
anything else on this?
No, I'm good here.
I'm gonna do a risky thing.
Oh boy,
I'm gonna share my screen.
Okay.
Yeesh.
Now where would I go to do that? Maybe it'll just come up here in the video screen here.
Should pop in right here, correct?
Oh, wow.
It did. Wow.
So ignore the title of the document. But what I did, you know, every year Mike Clay puts out the free agency list.
He does. It's
like this very helpful resource for anybody who pays attention to the NFL offseason. I use that as my launch point for the names. And I tried to tier out free agency in the form of a horizontal board. If you're not familiar with a horizontal board, each column vertically is a position. And each row horizontally is tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. So it gives you an opportunity to see where value and surplus and quality options align as it pertains to the top and the bottom of the free agent market. And I wanted to pull up all of the offensive and defensive positions to highlight what the horizontal draft board looks like and have us talk about it here on the show for the tone, setting the tone for free agency, which is going to open in like 3 weeks from today, really. 3 weeks from today, the free agency will open. So we have the NFL Combine in this stretch. Players are going to get extended. Players are going to get re-signed. But just looking at this right now is the best that this free agent class is going to look. What stands out to you guys from available talent?
So this, I don't know if it's important for us to be able to read the names here, but it got very blurry and they're
true.
Not readable.
It is true. Can't see the list. Oh. If you could share the list.
I would say this, though, if it's not important to see the names, you can still use the tool because of the concentration of where the players are. And now it's gone.
I'm going to try to reshare. I don't want to share this document with you because it's a top secret document with a bunch of shit in it. Can you read it now?
No. Yes. No.
No.
Christ. It's reducing the resolution so that it can share with us, if that
right.
makes sense.
Right. And so that what you're going to have to do, Kyle, is you're going to have to share it with us if you want.
Or just copy paste that particular one to a document.
I will copy and paste this particular snippet of information with you. Because I do think the names are obviously very helpful. Okay, so I want to go to Chris. Can you filibuster
what,
here for
what
me?
Would you, I mean, I what would you like me to filibuster with? You want me to just
literally anything? What's on your mind? How is your day today?
You know what? I'm feeling pretty good. Derek Carr's meeting with the Jets went really well. So
I saw that.
I am feeling pretty good about, and the darkness retreat should be over. I think today. So
it feels good to have options, doesn't it?
It feels great to have options. Do you know what I would also, what would feel great? To be able to see this doc that you're putting together for us.
I am literally in the process of naming the document right now.
Okay, well, then I feel like I've done a good enough job here filibustering so that you can.
Okay. So in the chat, you guys will receive the link to open the document.
Okay. Look at this. Wow, this is fantastic.
Document secured.
I can see it in okay.
Now we have a little bit more energy about the segment.
Oh, for sure.
I was wondering why no one lit up to any degree.
Well, it's because we couldn't see it, you know?
Well, I understand that now.
So these are all the names, or is there, how did you pick and choose?
There are more names than this. I tried to pick the most relevant names and not put on the career practice squad offensive lineman who's going to be on a 53-man roster in training camp or at the start of the season, but is going to get cut.
Don't mind me, but what was the question again?
What stands out to you about available talent, potential scarcity, surplus value? Where are names that you like? Did I classify any players in any tiers in this free agent market that you disagree with? Just tear it to shreds. Okay.
The position group where there's
he's not done yet, Chris.
You have more questions about this?
No. Chris started to say something like he cut me off and I wanted to put him in his place so that he didn't do the same thing to you that he did to me.
Okay. It's very clear to me that this is an outstanding crop of free agent running backs. That's where you have the highest concentration of premium tier one and tier two talent. It's at running back and linebacker.
So let's flesh that out. The tier one running backs that I have down are Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. I think probably just about anybody would be hard pressed to argue any of those not being in tier one off the season that they just had. I'm sure there would be some fans of the star who would like to make an argument for Tony Pollard to be in the tier one. I have Tony Pollard, Miles Sanders, and Kareem Hunt as the tier two running backs. And then dipping down into tier three is guys like David Montgomery, Devin Singletary, Damian Harris, Rashad Penny, if he could ever stay healthy, Raheem Mostert, so on and so forth. Tier three free agent running backs. Do you want to do linebackers too?
Sure.
And Chris, I'd be interested in your thoughts on Quincy Williams here being a tier two free agent linebacker.
Yeah, I think that's an aggressive evaluation, but I'm not going to be against it.
So Lavonte David and Tremaine Edmonds are tier one. And then Jermaine Pratt, TJ Edwards, who had a phenomenal year for the Eagles, David Long, who's been very good for the Titans, and Quincy Williams as tier two. I thought about Bobby Okereke and Drew Tranquil there at the very top of tier three. And then Deion Jones, Kaiser White, Cody Barton, the other tier three linebackers.
Not a bad year if you need a safety.
Yeah, I really like this safety. And I like the guys in tier two and tier three more than I like the guys in tier one as far as potential signing of those players. Like you do cost, the whole opportunity cost and how much are you going to pay these guys. You can give me Juan Thornhill or Nasir Adderley 10 times out of 10 before I'm paying $15+ million to either Poyer or Jesse Bates.
Jay, you kind of stole my talking point because the tier two running backs was the group that really stood out to me. When scrolling
I think these are the three spots. I think safety deserved. I should have said safety along with running back and linebacker. Those are good. Those are rich positions. Now that's today, right? So, you know, one or two of these guys gets extended, then you know it changes things.
The Giants have declared their intention to re-sign Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, and we'll see if that gets done. But if that happens and Saquon Barkley's off the board, Lamar Jackson gets the franchise tag. He would come off the board. Like, really, as far as tier one NFL talents that are scheduled to be free agents, you have nine of them. No, you have 10 of them.
I think this interior defensive line crop of Dalvin Tomlinson, Javon Hargrave, Daron Payne, and I'm even going to lump in Draymond Jones from the Broncos into this. I think all four of those players get north of $14 million a season.
I think that's a good take. I do. They're all difference makers in their own way.
And we just don't have the defensive in IDL talent coming into the league. It just hasn't been there.
It feels like it's been soft for what, 3 years now?
Since 19.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And 19 was special with Quinnen, Wilkins, Simmons, Ed Oliver, Dexter Lawrence. I mean, that was a really nice crop, but we we see half of that maybe on maybe one of those types
probably
of players.
Less than yeah. half of that.
Yeah, it's not that
last
was,
couple of years. That's a great point. It's a great point.
Those guys are getting paid, man. Not good for receivers, man. I'll tell you that. You're talking about your premier guys being Mike Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jacoby Myers.
It's a bad group. It's a bad edge group too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. You don't have a player in tier one or tier two. And Kyle, I agree with you. I agree with you. If you look at Mike Clay's rankings, he's got Jadeveon Clowney number one
as the top edge guy.
For 4 years, I've been sitting here talking about how Jadeveon Clowney is not an answer for your football team.
He can be an answer, but he's not the answer as your quote unquote other starting edge guy that's going to play 75% of the snaps and get after the quarterback.
Right.
In fairness, Joe, Kyle does have Jadeveon Clowney as his top edge guy. Just as, not in one first two buckets. So just in fairness.
I mean, I think there's a legitimate argument to be made that DeJuan Smoot and Samson Ebukam are the best two free agents to sign if you need a pass rusher.
Attractive. They're the most attractive, yes, to me, for sure.
Because you've got more than a one to two year lifeline here. Like, you got Clowney, Marcus Davenport is talented. He's always been physically talented. It's putting it all together. Kyle Van Noy was good for the Chargers this year with Bosa missing time. I thought Van Noy played particularly well, but he's an older player. Melvin Ingram's an older player who played in a limited role. Justin Houston's an older player who played in a limited role. Robert Quinn's an older player who didn't get snaps for the Eagles down the stretch. Chris is taking his time out here on the show.
I'm using one of my three. There's some disrespect going on in one of these rankings.
Okay. So you feel very strongly about this, that you used a timeout here.
Well, I do, because I just think it's an oversight by you, and I think you're going to admit that it's an oversight. You just don't have Derek Carr anywhere in your quarterback rankings, and I feel like that's just a gross oversight.
Yeah, because he wasn't on Mike Clay's. Because Mike Clay put his list together.
We've already assumed he's a Jet, Chris.
A gross oversight that he's not on the list at all. Because
some people think about other things besides Derek Carr, you know?
I see what you're doing. Thank you for doing the being proper. No, whoa, that's disrespectful.
Okay.
That's disrespectful.
What's disrespectful? I just wrote him in tier two.
Derek should be above Gino.
It's not a ranking. It's a tier.
I will say, not a great year if you need a quarterback.
It never should be when it comes to veterans, right?
Man.
Because Lamar's in tier one. He might go back. Gino, you have in tier two. He's probably going to go back. Derek, we put in tier two. Put him aside. He's going to be playing on a new team. Daniel Jones in New York. They're going to franchise tag him. So then you're like, Derek Carr in tier two, Jimmy Garoppolo in tier three, and then the entire tier four bucket, which is just a bunch of just dudes.
Okay, so now you have created Frankenstein's monster, because what I am doing now is I'm going back to the sheet that this lived in, and I'm taking what I did at this time last year so that we can compare last year's free agency class at the exact same time of year to this year's free agency class.
Is that what's going on sheet two?
You did this last year, the same experiment?
I did this last year, yes. This was a part of my off-season blueprint for the Dolphins on the what would I do's.
Did you have them getting Tyreek Hill, Connor Williams,
Armstead? I did have them signing Teron Armstead and Connor Williams. I did not have them acquiring Tyreek Hill.
Oh, you did? You had Connor. That's good. That's a good take. Turned out to be a good move.
Holy
for the
smokes.
Miami Dolphins.
Okay. All right. All right.
So here is last year's rankings for you to compare and contrast.
Is it just going to be on sheet two?
Yeah, Hassan Reddick being a tier one linebacker is a big win for you, Kyle. It's a big win.
You know, and so we try to watch the tape here. So,
it looks a lot different, doesn't it?
I do enjoy, no offense to T.Y. Hilton, but next to T.Y. Hilton in this sheet, it just says,
Yeah. Because this was a Dolphins project, so I had all my notes.
Sorry, T.Y.
So T.Y. had, the note was old.
Come on with Sammy.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins was LOL was the caption there.
Not a great offseason if you needed a running back, and I think that panned out, because I don't look at any of these guys and say that.
I mean, the best re-signing or the best signing for any free agent running back from the 2022 offseason was Mostert, like 1,100 yards.
Well, the Falcons bringing back Cordarrelle Patterson feels like a big win. Felt like a big dub for them.
Yeah, but he never hit free agency.
Okay.
He's re-signing.
That's fine.
Re-signing. And get me into my fine print notes here.
Evan Engram and Hayden Hurst are pretty two good tier two tight ends. That worked out.
Those were both home runs.
Those both worked.
And you contrast
Allen Robinson in tier one is probably an L.
You know, I didn't put this up here for me to roast Kyle.
Well, that's
just more the spirit of the value of free agency. And I will say, I think the thing that stands out the most when you look at both years is the void that generally exists in tier one and tier two for your premier hallmark offensive skill players. You got two good running backs this year. Running back tier two's kind with a couple of guys, but those are players that the teams generally have a surplus. But there have not been good wide receivers that have actively hit the market, or quarterbacks that have actively hit the market, which is exactly what you would expect. We have one quarterback that's scheduled to hit free agency the last 2 years, and it's Lamar, who's probably going to get the franchise tag.
Think about this, Kyle. When we talk about important positions to build on your team, we think of offensive tackle, we think of corner, we think of edge. You don't have a tier one player in any of those buckets for this year.
Yeah.
Those are pillar positions that you have to build, and you don't have a tier one player in free agency.
Well, there's no tier one corners either. The top corners are
right.
Bradbury, Pat Pete, Cameron Sutton, and Byron Murphy, a couple of nickel guys.
So no tier one corner, no tier one edge, no tier one interior offensive lineman or offensive tackle. Tough.
Keep that in mind with your mock drafts.
Right.
There's a reason why those teams tend to get drafted early. Great point. Because the good ones don't hit the market.
No, they're drafted and get traded before they hit the market and sign
with a new team instead.
Connor McGovern, Jets version and Cowboys version hitting free agency in the same year that we can't.
I was very tickled to put them right next to each other. Yeah.
We can't have that.
Yeah. They play the same position, too. That's the best part.
They play the same spot.
Hey, real quick, the tier two offensive linemen that are available in this year's free agency crop, I think, are very, very good players, though.
If you have some holes to fill, these players can fill those holes for sure.
Isaac Seumalo, Ben Powers, and Dalton Risner on the inside, and Orlando Brown Jr., Caleb McGarry, and Andrew Wiley at tackle.
Yo, I like Nate Davis.
Would you put him in tier two?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think he's as good as those other players. No, I think he's in a different tier. That's fair. I think there might be a better case to put McGlinchey in the tier two tackles.
He just needs to play consistently.
Well, this was interesting, Kyle.
Kyle, excellent. Excellent, excellent.
You know, I did spend a lot of work time on this. I said I want to bring it into my friends and talk to my friends. I didn't want to tip off what my offseason blueprint was, although Joe's seen a 53-man roster projection.
I've seen it all.
As if sharing it with Joe is going to impact what the Joe has no say.
Well, no, but oh, yes, I want to. It's going to be big content. It's going to be big content.
I will call the Miami Dolphins and tell them.
Wow.
With a strongly worded
right.
voicemail.
Somebody said to me on Twitter that I got to do a better job of holding McDermott and Bean accountable. I was like, yeah, you know, the next time we have an accountability meeting, I'll be sure to give them a stern talking
right.
to. Let them know.
Well.
Oh, man.
You want to roll out of here? Want to do
yeah,
Vic?
Yeah. You know, yeah, we don't have
Vic.
Enough time.
Yeah, yeah we can't it. Start Vic. We got 10 minutes before yeah, the no. staff meeting. And okay. I mean,
that's we'll get to it tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
We're not going to get to it tomorrow, Chris. It's going to be next week.
Oh, that's right. We're doing a mock draft tomorrow on the show.
Yeah. Producer Chris.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, can't wait, baby. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, Chris Schubert. Thanks to our friends over at Bet Online for their continued support of the show. We hope you guys have a great Wednesday. We'll talk with you all tomorrow. As we said, mock draft time. So plan accordingly. We will see you then.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.